Welcome to the Reclamation Nation, where we help you reclaim control of your health and wellness. I'm Coach Ryan, a certified personal trainer, health coach, and former military physical trainer with certifications in orthopedic exercise, longevity, wellness, fitness, nutrition, and behavioral change. I have over 30 years in the fitness industry.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer. I'm a practicing pharmacist, health coach, and certified functional medicine specialist. I have over 10 years of personal and professional experience in the health and wellness field.
Our goal is to raise awareness about the responsibility and potential you have in managing your own health.
As a reminder, nothing in this podcast is designed to diagnose, treat, or cure health illnesses, but is presented as educational and entertainment material. Please consult your personal healthcare provider with any specific needs. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Reclamation Nation. I'm here with Ryan.
Hello.
Today, we're going to be switching gears a little bit. I know you guys are probably done with some of the science and medicine aspects, so we're going to talk today about physical health and some...
And mental.
Okay, mental health. That's good. Ryan, what is it that's on your agenda for today?
Today, I'm going to talk about mindful strength training.
Okay, mindful, I get. Strength training, I get. How do the two of them work together? What is this concept?
So the concept originated when I worked at a big box gym and I noticed that people were coming in, same people over and over, really going in and just attacking their workout. And they had the mentality, and it's an old mentality, it's been around for a long time, where you come in and you know, if you're using machines, you sit down on the machine, you bang out your reps. If you're using dumbbells or whatever it is you're doing, you get into it. You just go as hard as you can. There's no concentration on the movement of each repetition in and of itself. Everything is seen as a, you know, big picture thing. They're not thinking about the individual aspect of each exercise. And I got people coming in and realizing that they weren't making any gains. They had been doing the same thing consistently, like they're supposed to, doing the same workouts 3-4 times a week. They say they're eating right, but they're not making any gains. And when I watch them go through their workouts, they are so violent, so fast, so many repetitions all at once, that it made sense to me at that point. They weren't getting any gains because they were going too fast. They were moving too quickly and they weren't thinking about the movement itself.
So really just fixating on the destination rather than the journey of that particular workout. You come in, you get whatever work done, and you get out as quick as you can, really?
Right.
Okay. What's the bad part of that, so to speak? Aside from you saying some people aren't seeing results, what would be the negative of, you know, just kind of powering through your workout?
Well, for a lot of people, we would see over time, we'd see injuries, especially joint injuries. Connective tissue is not strong enough to handle the kind of weight that they're using. And when you are really forcing yourself to move rapidly or even semi-rapidly, and by semi-rapidly, I mean, if it's only taking you a second or a second and a half to complete each phase of the movement, you know, for instance, if you're doing a squat, if you're standing up in a second and a half and you're coming down in a second and a half, that's way too fast for all of those connected tissues in your ankles, your knees, your hips, your lower back. Even your shoulders, depending on how you squat, are being damaged. And so we see a lot of repetitive use injuries. We see a lot of connective tissue and joint injuries based on that style of ballistic rapid movement.
Okay, fair enough. You just called me out, or maybe I'm calling myself out on this one. Is that why my knees hurt usually and I don't feel it as much in my thighs?
It could be that, and it could be the fact that, and you and I have talked about it. If you've never seen Jennifer squat, She has an unusual style of squat. It's not wrong. It's just unusual, and it's not textbook like you would see a trainer teach. But I've tried to coach her with your squats and with a lot of people. The idea that you are not taking the time to really feel it where you should feel it through the movement, and you're just trying to get through it, is probably why you're not feeling it. You're not activating the muscles properly where you should be.
Okay. I think this is a fair chance now to say that people want to see my squats.
Now people want to see the squats. Yeah. So at some point.
I'm going to link you guys to my Instagram page. And next time I do leg day, you guys will see my squats. And I guess, Ryan, I'll do them the way I normally do. And then you'll have the opportunity to mindfully slow me down, walk me through it. I want to make sure I'm doing it right. Obviously, this is the goal for anyone's workout, is to make sure that they're getting the benefit from it. Let's talk for a moment about the mindful aspect of your strength training.
Said the mindfulness part of it is where we slow the repetition down. Now, I have a history of training what used to be called super slow. You can't call it that anymore because of a bunch of trademark issues, but they call it high intensity exercise. There are various forms of high intensity exercise. The concept of that is that you move very slowly through the repetition with the end goal being complete muscle failure. You don't count your repetitions. You only time them. That's the physical part that tied in with the mindfulness part of it. In the mindfulness part of it, which was the question you asked, we're really slowing down, and I teach people to really focus on each moment of each movement. That is, every inch that you go through a movement, you should feel the muscles that are working and appreciate that those muscles are working in that particular moment at that particular time. And that particular moment in time will never come in your life again. So there's a very, I guess my dad would say hippy-dippy type of mentality toward really just the Buddhist background that I have, tying that into it and appreciating every moment in time as you flow through the exercise. I don't know if I even answered your question.
It almost sounds like a romantic like moment with yourself during your workout. And this is, you say,
well, I don't want to go too far with this. Not,
okay, let me elaborate. First, let me just clarify, when you're saying high intensity, it's not to be confused with high intensity interval training, where it's a lot of fast, strong movements like you see in the CrossFits, right?
Right. Very ballistic movement. I don't want to call CrossFit out necessarily.
Just giving people examples.
Right, an example. Yeah, that I call it more of a boot camp style of training. The very ballistic running, jumping, lifting as much weight as you can possibly.
Rapid movements.
Yeah. It's known as ballistic style training.
Okay.
And this is counter that. This is against that. And it's very slow, methodic repetitions.
The high intensity part comes from the amount of weights or how intense you feel that resistance from the machines. Am I right?
Correct. The intensity of the movement, which is very, very slow.
Okay. So my understanding, when you're saying that you're being mindful of the movement, you're connecting the mind and the body physically and mentally at the same time. That's where I was kind of aligning the whole romantic moment with yourself. It's not just powering through that workout, getting my 10 reps, 4 sets, and then I'm done. I'm consciously taking my time through that, through each movement. Is that right?
So this goes back to like the Buddhist style of thinking, where we want to remove thought from the process. And when I say that, what I'm talking about is we're going to decompartmentalize the brain, the body, and the machine. We're going to bring all three of those things together. And the analogy that I use is most people will attack an exercise. They will attack, let's say, the leg press. They get in the leg press, the mind pushes the body, almost like a jockey riding a horse, right? The jockey is the mind, and they're whipping the horse, and they're forcing the horse for as much output as the horse can give. But they've separated the horse from the jockey. And what I want to do is I want to bring the mind and the body together with the machine. So now it's not you, it's not your mind forcing the body to attack the machine. You have now become part of the machine. The machine has become part of the body. The machine has become part of the mind. The mind is now part of all of it. And so we flow with the exercise rather, and I use my hands a lot when I describe this, but, and they can't see that, but I think that's funny. I just noticed that I do that a lot.
I'm drawing my hands toward me.
It's a very slow rhythmic movement that removes the barriers between the mind, the body, and the machine. And so now you become part of the machine and you simply push the movement through until you hit almost full extension. Like you said, if we're using leg extension, almost full extension. And then you very slowly bring it back. It's not back and forth movement. It's a very circular movement, very much like if you're familiar with Aikido or Judo, where it's a very circular movement. It's not straight out, straight back. You're simply flowing through the movement, almost full extension, bring it back to your almost all the way back, and then push it out again. Very methodic, very rhythmic, and allows you to really take the ego out of it and just appreciate being in that moment at time.
So your goal would be to have a very smooth flow with the actual workout. So not locking out your knees or locking out your elbows and taking that moment to pause and rest, because that's usually where my, like, where I myself would feel, okay, this is getting really hard, or this hurts, because I'm aware now of how much weight I'm holding. So by doing it in a slow rhythmic move, what am I benefiting? Like, what is the gain from that?
Well, so physiologically, you're keeping the muscle under tension. And so if we want to talk about that for just a second, you're looking at a consistent full, let's say you go to 3 minutes, a full 3 minutes of consistent, continuous tension on the muscles, right? As opposed to, let's say you do three sets of 10, and each repetition is only a second and a half or 2 seconds. So that's only 20 seconds per set. Mm-hmm. So that's only 1 minute of tension on the muscles. And in between each of those, you get rest.
Yeah.
So it's no wonder you're not seeing any results, because you're only under tension for a total of 20 to 40 seconds, and you're resting in between, which allows those muscles to recover. In the slow style of training, there is no rest. The muscles are under constant tension, and you hit that higher order muscle fiber that you don't hit from doing the ballistic style or the bodybuilding style of training.
So you're, in a sense, you're allowing different layers of your muscles to engage.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. I like that.
And you don't hit, the nice thing about that higher order muscle fiber is that it does contain more mitochondria. It's a little bit thicker and dense. And so you're actually increasing the metabolic effect, the cardiovascular effect, by doing that.
So you're basically saying I don't have to run on a treadmill for 30 minutes to help benefit my heart. This has almost as much benefit for the cardiovascular system as like long endurance type
Correct.
Of training.
Dr. Doug McGuff has a book called Body by Science, and I recommend people read that if they want to understand the benefits of slow style training, of high intensity training. And he does a much better job than I can. But basically what we're boiled down to is, if you want to be a better runner, you have to run. Now, you are not increasing the size or capacity of your lungs. You're not increasing the size or capacity of your heart. You are simply teaching the muscles to become more efficient at running, and that makes you a better runner over time. As your muscles become more efficient at removing the lactic acid and your endurance increases in those muscles, it seems like I'm breathing better. I used to get tired at a quarter mile. Now I don't get tired for a mile and a half. It's not because you've expanded the capacity of your lungs or your heart, because you cannot remove the muscles from the lungs and the heart. You can't remove sections of your body from training. The only way to increase muscular, or the only way to increase your heart rate, is through mechanical movement. Mm-hmm. We're just doing it in a slow, controlled setting rather than out on the track somewhere. If your goal is to be a better runner, yeah, you have to run more. If your goal is to be a better golfer, you have to golf more. If your goal is to be a better swimmer, you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Those are separate from the strength training, but the strength training can give you the same cardiovascular benefits.
Okay, fair enough. Who would be kind of an ideal candidate for this? Is this, we talked last week how there is no one size fits all. So I'm going to bring that into this aspect right now. Who would be the most, who would gain the most benefit from this style of training, this high intensity kind of mindful training?
So there's two parts to it. One is the high intensity training. The other is the mindfulness. And you have to think, if you are a person who is overstressed at work or at home or in any aspect of your job, and you go to the gym and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to work out all this stress, right? The problem is that the body doesn't understand physiologically. It doesn't understand the difference between work stress and workout stress. It's all stress. Okay. And so you are adding more stress to an overstressed system, and forcing an overstressed system to produce even more energy. And the benefit that workouts give you from that aspect is not physiological. It's psychological. Your brain is producing, you know, your body is producing oxytocin, dopamine, serotonin at levels higher than when you were normally stressed. The problem is, when you consistently go through these attack style workouts, these ballistic style workouts, in hopes of removing the stress that you went through in your day, you hit adrenal fatigue.
And most people are actually already adrenally fatigued and go through burnout. And those are the people that I work with on a daily basis. Those are my clients. You're burned out from the stress of your job, the stress of running a household, the stress of, you know, day-to-day life. And then also now, like you said, the physical burnout and physical stress that your body is being put under, your, like you said, your brain doesn't understand the difference between the emotional stress and the physical stress. So while in the moment, it feels like, you know, you're powering through this workout and it felt so good, you're getting that instant rush of adrenaline, but you already have too much adrenaline running through your system to the point where everything in your body is so overburdened by seeing adrenaline, it just turns off all of those receptors.
Correct.
I kind of just took it to a science base.
That's fine because that's one of the great things about our partnership in this is that you understand that much better than I ever have. I'm getting there. But because of you, now we can kind of address that part of it for people who might not understand that. So I'm glad you piped in.
And how it all really ties in together. I mean, you can't have your the physical without some sort of scientific background. There's
right.
We are science. We're made of science. So
correct.
It's always going to tie in somehow. So it's interesting, this methodology, because most people, when they're doing physical weightlifting or weight training or any kind of endurance workout, I don't think we focus much on mindfulness. Mindfulness, from what I've seen, is mostly recognized in slower style exercises like yoga or Tai Chi or things like that. Wouldn't you
agree? Right. No, that's true. And so now we're into the mindfulness part of the mindfulness, mindful strength training, is that using my experience and my training in Buddhism and following the people that I've followed, the teachers that I've followed, bringing that meditative state into strength training is what this is all about. And understanding that as you sit there doing the exercise and feeling how you're feeling your body as it progresses through the exercise, you hit a sort of meditative state. We know science has shown over and over, many studies have shown that meditation is actually good for reducing the stress in the human body and recovering from that adrenal fatigue. We know that. Now, I'm taking that that type of meditation and putting it into the strength training to create this mindful strength training, where as you are training, you're conscious of your entire body, not just the arms, not just the legs, but you really focus on everything. You hit that meditative state as you're pushing out that weight or as you're lifting the weight. I've had people who would sit there and their legs are shaking. They don't even realize they've gone for a minute and a half. They don't even realize they've gone for 3 minutes. And I stop them and they're like, how long was that? I'm like, well, you went for, you know, 2 minutes and 38 seconds. So like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that long, because they got so lost in the feeling. They were actually meditating.
Yep.
Through the whole thing.
I think it's funny that you say that. Some people are just like, oh, I can't relax my mind, I can't meditate. But if you've ever done a yoga session, or if you practice this kind of high intensity training, you are in a form of meditative state. If you've ever kind of just been driving home one day and you have that muscle memory, you know your route home, you're aware of the cars around you, but you don't recall getting from point A to point B. You're just home and you're driving. You're like, oh, wow, I got here safe.
Yep.
That's a form of meditation. You kind of hypnotize yourself.
Absolutely.
Without realizing. So,
and now I'm just having people do that in a strength setting.
And that's interesting. I like that concept. I really started getting into mindfulness-based workout when I started yoga. Mm-hmm. I used to be that client who, you know, you've seen me train, just come in, push through my workout, hit my, you know, my reps, and be done. Like I was tired, felt good, felt like I got my little sweat on and I felt great. But then I started, you know, the next day you'd be sore, or I have like the aching knees or elbows or shoulders, everything just started to hurt. And I'm like, man, I'm gonna have to take a couple days now to recuperate. So by working on yoga, I've realized how much your mind needs to connect with your breath, connect through the movements, and kind of use your breath on a normal, like just a normal breathing. You don't have to do
right.
heavy labored breathing, but just listening to your own breath guide you from one position to the next. You're changing poses, you're transitioning, and it feels like a very rhythmic, methodical flow, like what you're describing. Am I kind of in line here? I almost feel like they kind of correlate. Like when I'm doing yoga, I'm doing all body weight. So that, even just going as slow in some of those positions, is pretty intense. And I work up a sweat. So does that kind of transition, or at least
it is
aligned with what your training is?
It is the exact same thing. The difference is that I'm using a greater amount of resistance.
Sure.
And I'm trying to get people to understand that you do not have to, by the way, you don't have to be in a gym to do this. You can stand up off your couch and feel the exact same movement that you would in a leg press. I had a mentor who used to tell me a rock will get your results if you know how to use it. So you don't necessarily need to be in the gym to do this. You don't need a trainer to sit there. Now, obviously, it's going to benefit you to have the trainer initially to focus you where you should be focused until that becomes second nature. But yoga, meditation, all of that plays into this to a great deal. And I'll tell you, one of the things that really hit me was when you started yoga, the instructor that you were following at the time used to start out with, if you want to, what did she say? If you wanted to set an intent.
Right. Set your intention for today's class.
Set your intention for today's class. And I love that. And when it really hit me, I started thinking about all of these people who go in and mindlessly attack the weights, mindlessly attack their workouts or the machines, don't even care what the exercises are necessarily. They just go through the motions.
It almost takes the passion out of exercise. I know a lot of people just don't like to work out. We don't like to sweat. It's something that you have to dedicate time to in your routine. It's almost like a job. Some people just don't find the joy in exercise. And I think it's because they're taking the mindful aspect out of it. They're not even enjoying or giving grace to what their body is capable of doing on a physical level.
It's very true.
It's a chore for some people. Like, oh, I got to go to the gym. I have my 1 hour. And then some people use it as social hour. So kudos if that's what you go for. I mean, I don't know what gain you're getting. But I mean, it's interesting to think of the different environments of exercise that you go to. There's some really loud kind of distracting gyms. And I feel like those are the people that, like you're saying, with the ballistic training, they go for show. And they're not worried about their form or who they're impacting around them.
Right.
How do you incorporate that in the gym where you work now? If there's like a kind of a distraction, like how do you guide your clients to just drown that out? Because it really is what mindfulness comes down to, is acknowledging that there's distractions, but letting them go and refocusing on yourself.
So if you have, you know, if you have algebra 101 and then you have advanced algebra, you're basically learning the same principles. But advanced algebra is going to have a little more difficulty involved with it. And it's the same thing. When people come in to train with me at the gym I'm at now, and the music is loud and people are chatting and there's a lot of noise going on around you, yes, it can be more difficult, but that challenging aspect makes you better at it. I feel that when you stay in your lane. You are not concerned about their conversation. You are not concerned about the music. You are not concerned about anything other than feeling right now how your body is positioned and going through the flow of the movement with this machine. You are right here, right now. You're not in that conversation. You're not in that music, and you're not over there lifting weights. You are right here, right now. And I want you to stay right here, right now, in your brain, in your mind. Focus the mind and the body together, work with the machine and go through the flow. And so it is a bit more challenging, but once you have someone to sit there, and this is why I say that working with a trainer might be more beneficial at least in the early stages. If you have a trainer who can sit there and say, you know, I notice you're getting off track. You know, you had your eyes closed and now they're open and you're looking over at that person, go back to where you were, stay in your lane, stay on your movement, focus on the breath. And just, you know, finish what you're doing here. Don't get distracted by that over there. So is it more challenging where I'm at? Yes. Not always. Sometimes it's a nice quiet gym. But when it's full and there's a lot of conversation going on, that's when people have to really be intentional. They really have to be purposeful about their movement. Speaking of purpose-driven workouts, every exercise that I give a client is specifically there to help them achieve their goal. Now, a lot of those exercises will carry over because a lot of people have the same or similar goals. The other part of mindful strength training is that you are mindful that every single exercise that you perform is geared toward helping you achieve a specific result. And it serves a specific purpose in that. So I'm not the kind of trainer to just throw a bunch of exercises out at somebody and say, okay, how can we make this hard today? How can I make people sweat today? It's what does this person need and what does that person need? And like I said, some of those exercises will carry over because there's only so many muscles in the human body and there's only so many ways to move them. But you can be guaranteed that when you work with a mindful strength coach, and as far as I know, I'm the only one. So when you work with me, you will actually get exactly the exercises you need at the time that you need them.
I think what's interesting too about working with a coach or a trainer in this aspect especially is like the mind is a muscle. It needs training, it needs endurance, it needs fuel.
You know, it needs everything the body needs.
I say your mind, I mean physically your brain, but mm-hmm. in order to keep those synapses working, in order to keep the brain fresh and healthy and young, built for longevity, it needs training and coaching. We are so quick to let our emotions and everything going on in our environment kind of take control of our thoughts, whereas forcing yourself to acknowledge them but quickly let them go and retrain your brain to come back to that quiet inner space just to focus on that one thing, that one task in front of you at this moment, being present in that moment, that takes practice. That in itself is a workout. So you're saying I'm getting a mental workout and a physical workout at the same time. I like it. So we've talked about how the mind and the body don't know the difference between physical stress and emotional stress. So you're having a rough time at work. You think you're going to go to the gym and let out some of that aggression and that stress, but really you're adding more stress to your body. Mm-hmm. You're bringing that energy home. All that is constant negativity, constant stress, and those emotions carry over into the people around you, and it just gets exacerbated. So rather than putting that extra stress, why don't you bring in the mindfulness, bring in that calm, channel that into your workout, and then that'll overlap into your daily life. I understand wanting to keep that separate, but in reality, your mind, your thoughts are with you all the time. You bring to the table what you want. So ultimately, your stress at work, your stress at home, your stress in the gym, all of that is tied into who you are. It becomes your persona. What you give thought and focus to is what manifests in your physical environment and vice versa. I'm thinking of an example of work stress, let's say. Being a manager, I've had my own stresses with my employees in the past where I've reacted in the moment. Everyone's kind of had those moments sure. where you just outwardly express your feelings rather than internally processing. With mindful training, what I've learned is, okay, something's not going right. I'm very upset. I'm feeling emotional. I've got all these thoughts, but I'm not going to act on it yet. I'm aware of my feelings and my emotions. Now, what have I done in the past to solve this problem? Did it work or not? And then what am I going to do in this situation to address it? Bringing that conscious thought forward and saying, okay, again, I'm aware that I'm feeling upset and this is what's causing it. But let me pause in this moment and understand what those feelings mean mm-hmm. and then coming to a logical resolution.
To take that into the strength training aspect, if we were doing a leg press and your legs are shaking and your muscles are burning and people are conditioned to stop at that point, and I tell them, acknowledge that that's going on and then press on. You know you can do more. And I'll tell you one thing that happens more often than not is people will get off of an exercise and stop and realize they could have done a couple more.
I'm guilty.
I am guilty of that myself. And I teach this, and it's a constant learning environment for me. But yes, there's times when I have gone there by myself, not having a coach to guide me or not having a trainer there standing or even having you there to go, no, come on, you can do more.
One more.
Just having that person there to say you can do one more and not getting into an argument with them, but acknowledging the fact that, yes, my legs are shaking, my muscles are burning. And then when I get off, I'm always so devastated because I think, oh, man, I let myself down. Right. I could have gone further. I could have done more. So you're absolutely right. Acknowledging what's going on in the moment, processing that, and then letting it go and continuing forward is a huge part of this.
Yeah. That ties in the mindfulness and the physical, because we know what our bodies are physically capable of. Most people don't think about what we're mentally capable of.
Right.
And this kind of training really brings the two together. your mind is not allowing your body to quit. Your body is not allowing your mind to quit. It's working together as one cohesive unit.
Right. Most people fail an exercise or fail to reach their goals because they were not mentally conditioned to ever reach them. So hopefully this will help. And I'm hoping it catches on.
I'm sure it will. I like
where it. Where can people get a hold of Dr. Jennifer Fernandez?
So my website is drjenniferfernandez.com. That's to work with me, contact me, read a little bit about what functional medicine is, how health coaching can help you. I want people to check out my Instagram, Dr. Jenny Marie, because I promise you this upcoming week, around the time this episode airs, I will show you my squat and Ryan will show you his version of my squat. I promise.
It's something to behold, that's for sure. And Your Holistic Wellness LLC.
On Facebook, that's okay. Correct.
And mine is, my Instagram is train_tacletics. And that's on Instagram and on my website at tacletics.net.
Check it out.
Check it out.
See you soon, guys. Thank you for listening.
High five.
Yeah.